It's God, that's what we mean by God discourse. A disciplined discussion. And of course, a disciplined discussion means we have to know the basics. We've got to lay some foundations and proceed in a fixed way. It's not up to us to just choose and pick and go wherever we want. The Bible does not give such a disciplined discussion of God's nature. That's why I say today the word theology is taken as a term of many disciplines, which they have one thing in common, and that is they are disciplined about God. This is the key word. Not just discussing God. Now, the Bible does give certain statements. For example, explicit statement. We know from John 4:24. God is spirit. Now that is an explicit statement. Explicit statement. But now, if we were to stay with that, then we say God is spirit. Somebody may say, what does that mean? What does that mean? Do you all understand exactly what spirit is? Now, the Bible is replete with references to God. But the Bible nowhere says spirit is. So I need to know this spirit is and continue. The Bible doesn't give it to me. So once I come to that point, the Bible just says God is spirit. Now most people would say, oh, we all know what spirit is, don't we? Well, I mean, if we do know what spirit is, then why do we have a discussion? I don't think we agree on that. See, because one of those definitions is that spirit is some kind of special substance, is a kind of substance that God has used like wood, shall we say, or like metal. It's a substance that God used to form everything. Now, that definition is wrong. Now, Mr. Armstrong called it a spirit essence. That's his definition of it. The Bible doesn't say that. Now, we can talk about material essence, if you like liquids or solids or gases. And people would say, well, spirit essence is something parallel. That's their definition. It's like having wood without grain or glass. Without ability to chip. Something like that. So, we have not I left the tea out from spirit. There. So we do not have a statement in the Bible as to what this is. Now, either we use our mind or we don't. Or we just abandon the hope of agreeing with each other. And then, if we do not use our mind, then you can hold whatever views you grew up with from society. And we said earlier that God's truth is not to be determined by social standards, by what we grew up thinking, because we all grew up thinking differently. And at that point, many people become unreasonable, because they think that if you define the word spirit the way differently from the way that they have defined it, then you are departing from the truth. Because they have defined it differently already. But when you ask them to stand on the this platform and explain their position, they say, oh, I am not capable of explaining anything at all. I'm just you explain it and I'll tell you whether you're right or not. So you present your case, and all they do is sit back and say, oh, you're wrong, because you have not given what I know to be true. That's why I say it's an unreasonable approach. I have a question here. Here's a question that came up in one of the conferences. A major thesis of your presentation is the nature of spirit. I don't believe you gave enough proof to dismiss our old teaching. Now, let me stop here. Here is that's the question. I would like to ask a question. What is the proof of the old teaching, in favor of the old teaching? How was the proof arrived at? That spirit is an essence, something that can be taken by God and shaped. Now, every time I asked that question, I received pure silence. Nobody said a thing. The nearest we got to an answer is that is Hebrews 11:3. So if I explain that scripture now, then I can say, let me write a conclusion on the board, that after I explain that, then it will be clear that my question, the question is, how was the old view established? Question. Now that question needs to be answered. And so far, the answer I have received is silence. Now let's look at Hebrews 11. And verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, that does not tell me anything that I need to know about the issue in question. Now, the person who proposed the scripture thinks that this scripture says something like this. He thinks that he's saying that that this scripture is telling us that there are two kinds of substances: physical, visible substances, and something that is. In other words, things that are seen, those are physical substances, and something else, that there is another kind of substance which is not visible, and there is no such thing in the scripture. The scripture says that what we see around us is not made from things which we see. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It doesn't say that they were made from invisible substances. Now let's check that scripture. So let me just write it out so you can see the misunderstanding. I'd like to erase the definition of theology now, so I can write on the other side of the blackboard, or the green board. So it says, things seen are not made from things seen. But some people read it as saying something else, that things seen, things seen are made from things unseen. Now that's what it doesn't say. It does not say that. Now if you are going to argue from this to that, I would like to see it established. I don't think there is a way. The road is blocked. This one says the thing that when I look at an apple, it was not made from anything that I can see. So it tells me what it is not made of. It doesn't tell me what it is made of. This one claims too much. But even if I take this particular aspect and analyze it, you're going to find that let's take this one. Let's take that point now and analyze it. See how far it will go. If you turn with me to Colossians 1:16, it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So he's saying, is there anything like that? He said, that is created by God. Created by God. That's what he says. So if there is anything in heaven that is unseen, that is invisible, that is created by God. If there's anything seen on the earth, that is created by God. Let me separate these. I put a line across here so we know. Oh, the microphone is making a noise. Every time. Right. Well, let's try that now. Try to do exercises. Now, it's when I do this. Thank you. So, I forgot what I was going to say now. So. Oh yes, I was going to say that, things seen are not made from things seen, which are made, created by God. And things seen, I left the N out, and things seen are, people think that this is what they imagine, it says, as imagined interpretation, or intention. They think this is the imagined intention. They think that that's what the scripture is meant to convey. That things seen are made from other things, and those things are invisible. Now the scripture says that even if there are invisible things, those were created by God. Now here is the mess that is produced from that. So if you say God makes the visible things from things that are invisible, now what does God make the invisible things of? So you say, or he must have other invisible up here. Now those are made by God too. So what are those made of? You say, well, those are made from invisible things. You say, what are those made of? From invisible things. And we go on like this, ad infinitum. So we end up in this silly, you know, perpetuation of creating of visible from invisible, from invisible, from invisible, from invisible, and ad infinitum. So this infinite regress shows that the scripture is misunderstood. So this explanation then leads to that. So if you take this as the statement, if you take this as the intended interpretation, then it leads to that kind of nonsensical point. So therefore, I have to say this one is a wrong interpretation. And I have just given the reasons for it. That scripture does not mean this. It means something else. It says, the things that I see around me are not made from things that I see around me. It doesn't say what they are made of. It does not mean that there are pre-existing essences of any sort at all. So now we have discussed that. And once we dismiss that point, then I still come back to my question. That was in reply to the passage I have quoted. Hebrews 11:3. So that is the only scripture that was given to me for the claim in order to show that the old view was correct. Now we have seen that Hebrews 11:3 does not mean what is stated on the board. So my question still stands. How was the old view established? Now, the letter that came in says, let me read again. A major thesis of your presentation is the nature of spirit. I do not believe you gave enough proof to dismiss our old teaching. So my question now is, on what is that old teaching based? Is it based? How? On what is it? How was the old view established? And at the moment, we have Hebrews 11:3. We threw that one out. So we now end up with this. And when I asked that question, I received silence. Nobody answers me. So there is no need for me to take it any further if somebody does not answer the question. So what then? I have to erase the board and leave the question still standing. Here's the question. Explicit statement of the scriptures is that God is spirit, and we need to understand what spirit is. Now, let me erase that also and write. Spirit has no extension. So that means I cannot think of spirit as something that looks like vapor, or Because vapor is extended in time, in space. It occupies space. Now, when we say, let me erase this again, and say that spirit means not matter. That's what we mean by spirit. Not matter. That's better, because now if you say the qualities of matter are that matter has extension in space. I could say, if you say that God looks like, is like the wind, see the word spirit, let me write on this side now. Spirit. Spiritus is Latin, a Latin word, and it means the wind. So, because it's not visible, because it's not visible. You may say, well, is that what God is? Well, God is spirit. That means you cannot see God. He is invisible. You may ask, why then do the, who gave the name spirit then? To who gave the name spirit to God? Well, the ancient people do not have the vocabulary for discussing invisible things. You know, they have a word for a wind, and they have a word for happiness, and have a word for misery, and so on. But they have to make an attempt to capture the truth of God in some way, and they have to use terms they understood. In other words, if God is transcendent, if God is beyond anything that we can see around us, beyond all the limitations of the universe, then there is no language we have available to describe him. So, spirit then is man's feeble attempt to capture that truth about God, that he is not visible. Now they say God is wind. They don't say it's like smoke, because you can see smoke. They don't say God is like vapor, because you can see vapor. Now, of course, you can touch the wind. You can touch the wind. If you can put your hand outside the window of the car and feel the wind as you drive by. The faster you go, the heavier the wind becomes. But because the wind was invisible, the ancients chose one of those words. They say, it's like the wind. God is like the wind, meaning God is not visible. But when man says God is like the wind, he does not mean God is matter. He just is like it. There is one aspect of the wind that is similar, that is held, is shared by God, namely the invisibility. But the wind is created. So in one sense, God is not like the wind either. And the word spirit is a term just what we'll have to do in circumstances. So we can ask ourselves, if I ask the question, what is God like? Can I ask that question? This word is a problem word. The word what? Because this means, this word what refers to something created. And God is not like anything He has created. Now, everything God has created, anything visible, in other words, is made of matter. It's put together piece by piece. Very much like the watchmaker puts together a watch. So God is not put together like a watch. So we can say that God is not like anything at all. God is not like anything, because all things are created by Him. So He is not like vapor. He is not like the wind. He is not like smoke, because all these things have been put together. So we need to say God is invisible, and God is intangible, and God is insensible. Sensible and insensible, meaning we cannot sense Him with the senses. So we cannot see God, but we can see what He creates. We cannot hear God, we can hear what He creates. We cannot smell, we cannot taste or touch God, but we can smell, taste and touch what He has created. Now, can God reveal Himself to us? The answer is yes, He can. He makes us hear something, or see something, or smell something. He can make us taste, touch, or even imagine something. But that something is not God Himself, but what God has allowed us to experience. We call it, for example, a vision of God. There's a difference between God and a vision of God. In the case of the vision of God, we see an image. It's a visual image. We can have an audible image. We can use, in other words, our eyes or our ears or our taste or our smell or a touch. And that would be an experience. That's what it would be. But God Himself, we cannot touch. We cannot smell, we cannot hear, see, or taste. So you may say, are we then agnostics? No, we are not, because we know much about God already. In saying what I have just said, we have said quite a lot about God. We said God is not like vapor. That tells me that I know something about God. A question arose with regard to this material, and the question surrounds what was presented in the Ten Commandments film. In the Ten Commandments, you see the Egyptians, the firstborn of the Egyptians, dying when this green smoke fills the streets of Egypt. So you think this green smoke going around, and then you hear the screams of the children dying. So, is God then green smoke creeping through the alleys of Egypt? And the answer is, no, He is not. Is an angel green smoke? No, he's not. So that's, you say, what is it then? I tell you what it is. It's green smoke. That's what it is. Now, if it happened that way, then we have a manifestation. We have a visual appearance. We have something that manifests in visual terms, showing divine action. You may also like to put down or read Deuteronomy chapter 4 on that point. And verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire. On that day, he says, you did not see a similitude. You didn't see a form, something that God was like anything at all. So take care of that, he says. Look at verse 16. Lest you corrupt yourselves and make a graven image, the similitude of any figure. So you cannot represent God in any figure, with any figure whatsoever. The likeness of male or female. God is not like a male or like a female. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth. So, God is not like a man. God is not like a woman. God is not like a beast that is on the earth. The likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air. The likeness of anything that creeps on the ground. The likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the sea. Unless you lift up your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, even the whole host of heaven, you should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God has divided unto all the nations. He is the one who provided them, see? Under the whole of heaven. So that says that God does not have a form that we can look at. We cannot say God is like anything at all.